This morning, though, I'd like you to turn to John chapter 14. And we began last Sunday looking at a series of studies that we're doing on the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we began to just break down last week the idea that the Holy Spirit is a person, that He's the third person of the triune Godhead, that the God is made up of three distinct persons that are one, yet they're distinct: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And many of you spoke to me and emailed me this week and just saying how much the message last week just blessed you and was in, kind of opened your eyes up to the Holy Spirit in a little bit different way. I was happy about that, and I encourage, if you maybe missed last week, that you would pick up the tape. But this morning, we are going to begin talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I do want to preface by saying what we're talking about and looking at, focusing on here in John, is different than what we've looked at before, in the sense that we have done studies in the past that have centered around primarily the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And those we were looking at in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14. And we're not going to get into that in this little series. If you missed any of that, again, you can pick up those CDs or that series out at our book cart. But here our focus is primarily to look at what Jesus taught here about the Holy Spirit, really His ministry in the everyday life of the believer. And I think that what we're going to do when we're done with all of this is maybe put it all together in one package on the Holy Spirit. But I'd like you to focus in once again on verse 15 of John chapter 14, and let's pray. Father, we do just ask that You would minister to our hearts once again, that You would teach us, that You would instruct us concerning this very important aspect of our lives, Your Spirit in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus says, "If you love Me, keep My commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." Once again, Jesus is here with His disciples on the final night before He is going to go to the cross. It's His final words, it's His final thoughts, it's the final things that He's sharing with them, and He introduces to them here the idea of the Holy Spirit as a helper. Jesus told His disciples that He was leaving them, but the good news for these men was that they weren't going to lose Jesus. He says there in verse 18, "I'm not going to leave you orphans." And notice what He writes, "I will come to you. I will come to you." Jesus was telling them that He would be back by means of the Spirit, that He would stay with them, that He was going to send them another helper. And we noted in our study last time that word "another" is another of the same kind. I'm sending you someone that's just like Me. Think of it in this way. If you were leaving your kids, if you knew that you were going to die, and you sat them all down and you said, "You know, kids, you know, I'm going to be passing away here any day now, and so I wanted you to know that I'm sending you to Uncle Joe's. And your Uncle Joe, he's going to take care of you." But the problem is, your kids, they've never met Uncle Joe. They don't know Uncle Joe. He lives over in New York. They've never been there. They've never seen him. They've maybe heard little bits about him. That isn't going to be very reassuring to your kids to know that they're going to go live with Uncle Joe, because they don't know him. But if you were to tell your kids that I'm leaving you, but I am going to be coming back in another form, and I will be with you forever. They may not understand that totally, but I bet you it would be a lot more reassuring to them. And that, in essence, is what Jesus is saying here, is that he was going to come back to them, but in a sense, in another form. His Spirit now living in their hearts. And the work that Jesus had been doing in the lives of his disciples, the Holy Spirit was now going to continue that work, that he was going to pick up where Jesus left off. You know, through those 3.5 years that the disciples walked with Jesus, they were held firm by the Lord. I mean, there were times when their faith would start to waver, and he would be the one that would bring them back to center. And any time, just for a moment, that they might get their eyes off of him physically, you know, they would begin to come apart. And so all through his ministry, he upheld them and he strengthened them and he counseled them and he ministered to them. But now he promises another who is coming, who's going to be doing that same work in them. The Holy Spirit. His Spirit in their hearts. The disciples were entering into a new dimension in their relationship with Jesus. He further gives us insight into this as we continue in verse 19 when he says, "A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you." Note that. They were going to be entering into a new vitality in their walk with God through the Spirit that was going to be in them. And this is something that once a believer kind of grabs a hold of this and really begins to think it through, that the risen Christ is now literally living in their lives through his Holy Spirit, their life takes on a whole new dimension. Lives that were once maybe dull are now filled with a new sense of joy, a new sense of purpose as the Spirit begins to release to them life in Christ. I love the way that Jesus puts this in verse 20. He says, "I am in the Father and you are in me." And that's the first experience when you become a Christian, that you realize that you get placed into the body of Christ. It's a miracle that happens, that you enter into a whole new family, the family of God. That we begin to realize now that we are children of God, that there's been a transfer that has occurred in our lives where we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness, where we were following Satan, whether or not we realized it or not, it could be very indirectly, but we were in the kingdom of darkness. And all of a sudden, through faith in Christ, we've now been transferred into the kingdom of light. There's been this shift. We were in this family, and now we've been placed in this family through that simple act of faith in Christ, that simple just opening up our hearts to him. And that's the reality of the phrase that Jesus gives here, "you and me." I am in the Father, and you are in me. But then, there, as we begin to walk with the Lord, there's another truth that begins to just, you know, resonate within our hearts. And that's the second thing that Jesus says here. He says, "I will be in you. I will be in you." You've been placed in me, into my family. You've been placed in Christ, in the Father. That's your position. He looks at you and he sees you as being in Christ Jesus. And he sees you righteous and holy in Christ. But Jesus says, but here's the other side, the flip side of that mystery is, "I'm in you." You know, we talk about asking Jesus to come into our hearts. And Paul, that is a biblical concept. Paul talks about in the book of Ephesians, I think it's in chapter 3, he prays that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. That he would be at home in our hearts through faith. How does that happen? Well, by his Spirit. He literally places his Spirit to reside in you. And his spirit desires now to live the life of Christ, that the life of Christ would be manifested in these bodies, in our flesh. And this is really when a Christian begins to really grab a hold of this and really believe this and desires to walk in this, it's amazing what happens when he thinks that, okay, Jesus right now, today, is desiring to live through me. And so there no longer is the mentality one of, you know, thinking, okay, what can I do for God? But instead, the mentality is, what is God wanting to do through me? What is God wanting to do in this vessel, this tent that he now is abiding in by his Spirit? You know, it takes a lot of Christians a long time to understand this, though. And so they spend years trying to figure out, you know, what they can do for God. And oftentimes it explains the reason why oftentimes you'll see a Christian really full of zeal and a lot of excitement, and they want to do so much, but in reality they do very little, they achieve very little. And the reason is they're not allowing the Spirit of God that's in them to flow through them, to work in them, to lead them. And that's really what we're focusing on here over these next couple of weeks, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our day-to-day lives as he seeks to come alongside of us. Jesus uses the term helper here in John 14. The word helper is the word paraclete in the Greek, and it means one called to one side to help. It was also used of the ancient warriors. See, when the Greek soldiers went out into battle, they would go in pairs, so that when they were attacked, they could draw together and stand back to back in covering each other's blind side. And one's battle partner that he went out into battle with, the guy that he was paired with, was called his paraclete, his helper. The one to cover his blind side. Well, our Lord doesn't send us to fight the good fight alone. The Holy Spirit is our battle partner who covers our blind side, who fights for our well-being. Now, the Holy Spirit is also referred to here as the Spirit of Truth. And that's part of his ministry. It's to impart truth to the world, especially in the life of the believer. And that's what I want us to consider today. Turn over to verse 26 of chapter 14. Jesus continuing here says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Here we are told that one of the main aspects of his ministry is that of a teacher, is to teach. And what I want us to do this morning and the rest of our time is I want us to consider the ministry of the Holy Spirit as a teacher. And I want us to consider three things about how he teaches, or three ways. And then we'll also look at the purpose of his teaching very briefly. But if you're taking notes, one of the ways that the Holy Spirit teaches is through appointed vessels. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, we read this: "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." From the very beginning of the church, one of the things, or one of the ways that the Holy Spirit has sought to teach the body of Christ is through appointed vessels. Those men that have been raised up, and in women's ministry type of things, those women that have been raised up to be teachers, to be pastors, to impart truth, to open up the Word of God, and to give understanding and to give insight for this purpose: to equip the body of Christ, to edify the body of Christ, to build up and strengthen the body of Christ, and to make it stable. And from the very beginning of the church, that has always been one of the ways and one of the forms that the Holy Spirit has laid out. Here's how I'm going to teach. Is I'm going to speak through a vessel. I'm going to speak through this individual to impart truth, to give understanding to the Word of God. But here's the thing. That's not the only way that he teaches. You see, the second thing that we see is that he himself gives understanding. Turn over to John chapter 16. John 16, verse 12, Jesus says this to his disciples. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Now here he is, he's on that last night, and he's saying to these guys that he loves, I have so much more that I want to say to you, but I can't say it. Why couldn't he say it? Well, he tells us. He says that they couldn't bear it. That what he still wanted to say to them, if he tried to share it with them, they wouldn't get it. They wouldn't understand it. It wouldn't make sense to them. It'd be kind of like trying to teach calculus to a kindergartner, you know? He's just not ready to receive that. He's just not ready to deal with that type of thing. And it would have been laying too heavy of a load upon them. And so he refused to do so. But the text also tells us what they were lacking. Look at verse 13. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, this is what's lacking. I can't go into this because you need this impartation of the Holy Spirit in your lives that you don't have yet. Remember he said, and we read in chapter 14, that he's with you, but he shall be in you. That hadn't happened yet. That happens in John 20. After the resurrection, he breathes on them. They receive the Holy Spirit. But he says here, however, when he, the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. And this gives us some insight into the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. How he seeks to teach us is that word guide, it speaks of giving application. It's taking the Word of God and opening up our understanding to it and giving the application for our lives. How it applies. You know, sometimes, you know, I do a lot of studying and stuff with my laptop computer. And sometimes my computer, it'll freeze up on me or, you know, kind of shut down. And I'm not very computer savvy, you know. To me, it's like a glorified typewriter. And so, you know, that holds a lot of information. But so I'll call Eddie Hill, one of the guys on our staff, or Rob Nash, or even my son Aaron, who knows a lot about, you know, computers, and I'll say, hey, I'm stuck. Can you help me? And these guys will come, you know, Eddie will come, and he used to come, and he would just, you know, he'd start trying to tell me what was wrong, and I just would say, you know, he's talking all this computer lingo, and I'd just be like, just forget it, you know, just fix it, you know, type of a thing. But as I began to understand a little bit more, you know, sometimes he would come and he would just start hitting buttons. You know, oh, this is probably what's wrong. And, you know, he's moving it. And he's so fast. You know, I'm like trying to watch him. And it's like so fast. And in 5 minutes, it'd be all fixed. And I'd say, well, that did me a lot of good, you know, because I have no idea what you did. And for Eddie, it's job security. You know, it's like, I'm just kidding, but. But like I would call him and I would say, now look, I want you to walk me through this so that I don't have to call you next time, you know, so that I can do this myself. But that's how, you know, all three of those guys, so often it's like they have such an understanding. It's so easy for them that they would come and just click and, you know, and all this stuff and, you know, and it's fixed. Well, the Holy Spirit doesn't operate that way. He teaches. He seeks to guide. He seeks to open up the Word of God and speak to our hearts and to give insight as to how it's to be applied. Now, here's what's amazing to me. In a setting like this, I will oftentimes give application to what we're studying. And I might say something like this. You know, maybe for some of you, You're going through this right now, and this is how what we're, you know, studying, this is how this applies or how this speaks to your life. And there are some of you who you'll tell me afterwards, like, you'll be thinking, how did he know? You know? Who called him? I mean, that's exactly what I'm going through, and this is perfect. It's exactly what I needed to hear. But there are others of you, I might give out five examples and none of them apply to you. It's like, nope, that's not me. I'm not going through that, and that's not me. I'm not going through that either. But you walk away and you start praying in the Word what you heard or what you've personally been studying, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit begins to speak to your heart. He begins to convict your heart. He begins to move upon your heart to give you some insight into this is how it applies. This is how this applies between you and your wife. And it becomes a direct word for you personally. The Holy Spirit, He seeks to guide us into all truth. And I love the fact that the Lord desire, His desire is not to keep us in the dark. Notice verse 13 continues, "For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine, and therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you." Twice here, Jesus says that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to take that which is coming from Him and coming from the Father and declare it to you. How many of you like to be in the know, you know? I think we all, you know, something's going on and, you know, you hear about it the last minute. My kids, they're always getting on our case because I'll be going on a missions trip, and it's like a week ahead of time, and they'll come up and go, "Hey, Dad, thanks for telling us that you're leaving. You know, we just heard from, you know, the people in the church that you're not going to be here for the next couple of weeks, you know?" And it aggravates them when I fail to tell them, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I don't want them, I'll tell them like, you know, a couple days before so my youngest one doesn't get sad and, you know, that type of thing, which she doesn't get sad anymore because now she's in junior high and it's like, "Hey, we're going to be going, you know, on this thing. Is that okay?" "Oh, yeah, sure, you know, have a great time and stay an extra week." You know, that's kind of her mentality now, you know. They grow up so fast. But what the Lord is saying here is that, hey, the Holy Spirit, His role, it's to keep you in the know. It's to keep you in the know. It's to declare to you the heart of God and the Word of God. And He starts by bringing the Word to life to us. Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm not going to have you turn there for the sake of time, but look this up on your own. But we'll work our way through. He writes in verse 9, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." Now, usually we stop right there. And we think, man, it's amazing. We can't even see, we can't even comprehend, we can't even think about what God has prepared for those who love Him. And oftentimes, that verse gets related to when we talk about heaven. And that is a true statement about heaven that is supported in other passages, but that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about how the mystery of the Word of God has been opened up and unfolded to us. You see, we need to keep reading. Because the next thing he says, "But God has revealed them to us through the Spirit." What a blessing. What a mind-blowing thing that the Lord would say, "Hey, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." And so often, that's where the verse stops when it's quoted. But he says this, "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit." These deep things of God have been revealed to us by the Spirit of God that is in us. You know, the Word of God at times can seem like a dark cave with many tunnels and a lot of different depths. But for the Christian who is willing to venture in, the Holy Spirit, He's like a guide. He's like a guide carrying a torch. And with each, you know, new cavern that you turn into, he illuminates it. And you come to a wall and he illuminates it. And you see all of these different drawings and all these different things, like you're exploring, you know, some cave. And he seeks to bring it to life to us if we want to venture in. If we allow him to speak to us. And he unfolds the beauty of ancient truths. Truths that have withstood the test of time. They were true 5,000 years ago when the Lord inspired them to be written. And they're as true for our lives today. Well, Paul continues in verse 10. He says, "For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? And even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." The Spirit of God is clued into the heart and the mind of God. But here's the good news for us. He continues in verse 12. "And now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." The Holy Spirit living in our hearts, His desire is to reveal to us, to impart to us, the mind of God, the heart of God. And God has blessed us in giving us His Spirit. It's His Spirit who opens up the Word to our hearts. Paul continues in verse 13. "These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." The natural man is the unbelieving man. And he says he doesn't get it. We talked about this last time. He doesn't understand the things of the Word of God. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. And God has placed His Spirit in our hearts to bring to life our spirit. And He seeks to impart to us and give us understanding concerning the things of God, concerning the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is a remarkable resource. He gives to the believer a knowledge that isn't found in any of the universities of the land. You take the top academic institutions filled with vast collections of human learning and human knowledge, but it does not compare to the wisdom that comes from the Spirit of God. You see, there is a fundamental knowledge about life that is absolutely necessary for us to properly function as human beings, and that is never going to be found in a secular university. But it's imparted to us through the person of the Holy Spirit that God has placed in our hearts. He brings forth a fountain of wisdom, a fountain of strength. He brings about a cleansing of the conscience that human psychology knows nothing about. He does a work in us that is truly a transforming work, changing us. And here's what's amazing to me. You can take two individuals and put them in the same situation. One of them has a ton of formal training and education, but not the Spirit. He's a natural man. He's an unbeliever. And he might follow the procedure of that situation to the letter. He might follow the manual by the book. But the end of it, we find that it was the wrong approach for the situation. Should have worked, but it didn't. Backfired. But you take another individual who has no formal training but is filled with the Spirit, who's sensitive to the Spirit, who has a heart that listens to the voice of the Spirit, put him in that same situation to deal with that same problem, and he responds in a way that might be completely out of the bounds of what the procedure says, what the manual says. And it's exactly right on the money. He handles the situation revealing a great deal of wisdom. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was leading him. The Holy Spirit directing him. You see, this is the ministry of the Spirit as He seeks to teach us and guide us. It involves opening up the Word of God to us, but it's taking the Word of God and showing us how it applies in our day-to-day experience, in our day-to-day life. And I'm not at all knocking education. In fact, the best of having the two to combined is the best of both worlds. Somebody who has the training but is sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That was Paul. Paul, man, he was trained, but he was a man that walked in the Spirit. And you see, here's the thing that I think oftentimes we fail to realize. You know, some of you guys, some of you men, you know, you've been very successful in business. You've been very successful in the place where God has put you. Maybe you own a business, maybe you are an executive in a company, and you have succeeded very well. And for some of you, you have succeeded, and you were successful even before you became a Christian. You did well in that realm, in that sphere. And now that you've become a Christian, because what you do in your business, you're gifted at it, and it comes kind of natural and easy to you, that when a situation comes up, the natural tendency is kind of respond to it in a routine type of way. Oh yeah, this problem I've handled 100 times before, and this is how I've done it, and that's what you do. And you don't give it a whole lot of thought. What's interesting, though, is when you are placed in a situation where maybe you feel in over your head. Maybe you feel inadequate. Maybe that happened as you got married and, you know, you've begun to you've been married a while and the Lord says to love your wife as Christ loved the church and to dwell with your wife in understanding. And you're like, Lord, I don't understand this woman. You know, help me. You know, and you wrestle with that and you struggle with that. Maybe for some of you, it's been being thrust into some position of ministry and you just feel so over your head. And so you're on your knees. I mean, you want to hear the voice of the Spirit. You want God to talk to you. You want Him to lead you because you don't know what you're doing. And so it's natural for you to respond in that way, in that situation. But I think the ministry of the Spirit of God, He desires to lead us in all those things. And maybe just for some of you, you might find yourself in a situation in work where it's a problem you've dealt with or a person you've dealt with or a scenario that you've dealt with 100 times before. You've always dealt with it in this way. It's just your standard operating procedure. But as you, this week, say, okay, Lord, I'm going to step back. What do you want me to do in this situation? That He might just bring some insight, some application from the Word about that situation to your heart and your mind. That's completely different. But it's exactly what is needed in that situation to deal with that person. And it becomes such a God thing. And His hand is all over it. The Holy Spirit, He seeks to teach us and to guide us into all truth. The third thing we see here, if you go back to John 14, verse 26, is He seeks to bring God's Word to remembrance. In John 14, 26, we're told there that Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance the things that I said to you. Now, for these disciples, He's talking here about inspiration. Jesus was reassuring the disciples that the things that He taught them over those 3 years, that the Holy Spirit was going to bring them back to remembrance. And this is our reassurance that when these men penned the Scriptures, you know, sometimes people will ask and they will say, you know, how can we believe that the Bible is really the Word of God? I mean, these guys wrote it so long after Jesus had died and rose again and ascended to heaven. Well, here's the answer. Jesus says the Holy Spirit, He's going to bring these things to remembrance. To use the modern computer language of our day, we could say the Holy Spirit is going to has the power to trigger the data retrieval system in the minds of these apostles and to bring back to the remembrance everything that they heard. And that's what he did. For them, it was to bringing to mind the things that he taught, enabling them to pen them, to put them down on paper. But he still does the same thing in our lives. He brings to remembrance, to your remembrance, truth. The Word of God that you've studied. And this is what's amazing to me, and I know that you've experienced this. Remember Jesus told his disciples, hey, when you find yourself before the authorities, don't worry about what you're going to say. In that moment, I'll give you the words to say. And I know a lot of us, we've experienced that. You get thrust in a situation, you have no idea somebody's talking to you, and you're like just, your mind's going, you know? What do I say? And suddenly there are verses that you have not even memorized that suddenly come to your remembrance. Verses that you've heard, but you haven't put to memory that the Holy Spirit brings out of the data retrieval system of your heart and your mind, and it's exactly what is needed for that situation. He brings to remembrance. He teaches us in that way. Part of his ministry is to bring to remembrance the word that we have taken in. But notice again in John 16, verse 13, he says, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. This is an important point as well. What does he mean here? He means that the Spirit of God is never going to give you isolated truth. He's not going to speak on his own authority. He will not come out with some startling, brand new, absolutely different revelation which no one has ever heard before. Every now and then you'll hear a preacher say something along those lines, that God has spoken to me, he's revealed to me this brilliant new idea. No one's ever taught it before, but if you want to know the secrets of successful Christian living, then come to this seminar or, you know, this type of thing. That's exactly what Jesus is saying will not happen. It's exactly what the Holy Spirit will not do. He'll never speak in that way because he only speaks what he hears. He only speaks concerning what God has already been saying. Therefore, he always shares integrated truth that is in line with what God has already said. It's in line with what God has already spoken. It will never differ from what was said in the past. It's not going to be new. It's been said, it's put this way before, there's no such thing as new truth. There might be new insights. There might be the taking a truth and we expand it to make it, you know, a little bit more applicable in our daily situation, living in the year 2007. There's no such thing as new truth. If it's new, it's probably not true. And here's really the test. If you're studying, here's the test. Here's the questions that we need to ask ourselves. First of all, was it taught by Jesus in the Gospels? That's the first thing. Did Jesus teach this? Secondly, was it modeled by Jesus? Did he teach it and did he live it? As I read the Gospels, do I see Jesus acting and responding in this way? Here's a classic illustration. In a lot of church circles, there are some very spooky, far-out ways that they deal with demon possession and casting out demons. And you read some of these things or listen to some of people talk about this, and it's like, it's bizarro. I mean, it's weird. What's interesting is you read through the Gospels, you never, ever see Jesus dealing with a demon-possessed person in that way. Ever. So did Jesus teach it? Did he model it? Was it modeled by the third thing? Was it modeled by the church in the book of Acts? Did we see it in the early church? And lastly, was it taught by the epistles? If the answer is no, throw it out. It was J. Oswald Sanders who wrote, "A walk in the Spirit will of necessity be a walk in accordance with the word the Spirit has inspired." That's true. So he brings to remembrance the things of the word, and when he speaks, he does not speak of his own authority, but he's delivering what he has heard from the Father, and it's in line with the whole of Scripture. Now, lastly and quickly, let's consider the purpose of his teachings. In John 14, verse 27, we see that the first purpose is that of peace. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you." Now, you need to understand, this is in context of him talking about sending the Holy Spirit. I'm leaving, but I'm going to send my Spirit. He's going to be your helper. And then he says this, "My peace I leave with you." It's in the same breath. The Holy Spirit imparting that peace. "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The word peace here could be translated stability in tough times or the ability to cope. And it's speaking here of a supernatural peace. And I want you to think for a minute about the persecution that these men were about to face. It would only be a short time after the resurrection, after the Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, after the birth of the early church, that you hit Acts chapter 6 and the enemies of Christ are coming after the church with a vengeance. But what's interesting about these guys is that they were able to stand in the midst of that persecution with a great peace and a confidence that was staggering. That marked them. It was a staggering peace. And that was the ministry of the Holy Spirit bringing to them. That purpose of his teaching was to fill their hearts with peace. Secondly, his purpose is to testify of Jesus. Look at verse 15, chapter 15, verse 26. He says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." He'll testify of me. What does that mean? Well, that means this. The Holy Spirit, his purpose is to point us to Christ. His purpose is to bear witness of Christ. In other words, the Holy Spirit does not want to be the focus. He doesn't want to be the center of attention. He doesn't want to be the one pointed to. And again, oftentimes that's what happens in church circles. There's so much that is said and focused on and talked about the Holy Spirit. I think if the Holy Spirit could talk, he'd say, "Hey, it's not about me. I'm here because I want you to fall more in love with Jesus. I want you to follow harder after Jesus. I want you to grow in a more intimate relationship with Jesus." The Holy Spirit, he doesn't want the glory. His purpose is to testify of Christ. And that brings us to the last thing. In John 16, verse 14, he says that his purpose is to glorify Christ. That through his ministry, and when he is ministering in a way that is when he functioning in a proper way in a life, in a church setting, in a Bible study, Jesus is the one that gets the glory. So here's the application for us. When we can tell when we are walking in the Spirit, because there'll be an absence of strife. There'll be an absence of confusion. There'll be peace. When we are walking in the Spirit, one of the things that is a mark that our life, our ministry, in our marriage, that we're really in tune with the Spirit, there's going to be peace there. Anytime I find myself in my personal life, in my family life, in ministry life, anytime I find myself striving or I'm trying to make something happen, I know I'm not walking in the Spirit. I know that somewhere along the lines, Rob grabbed a hold of the reins and Jesus is no longer in control. But what a blessing it is when I can resist that urge and to trust in Him and wait upon Him, the peace that comes into that situation. So there'll be peace, an absence of strife. Secondly, we can tell that we are walking in the Spirit when we're pointing to Jesus, when we're testifying of Jesus, when our purpose is, and when we're just wanting to just point others to Jesus, to Christ. And lastly, we can tell that we're walking in the Spirit when Jesus is being glorified and not us. That's when you know that God is in the midst of what you're doing, is when He's getting the glory. When Jesus is the one that's being lifted up. And that's what we need to desire. The Lord has given us His Spirit to lead us. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a later study. But His desire is that we would live lives sensitive to the voice of His Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You have left us the Spirit to indwell us, to teach us, to open up the Word to us, and to show us how Your Word applies in our daily lives. Lord, I pray for each one of us here that we would give ourselves to allowing You to guide us into all truth. That as we give our hearts and our minds to the study of Your Word, as You lead us down the depths, may You open up Your Word to our hearts and our hearts to Your Word, and show us how it applies in our business life, in our family life, in our ministry life, in our interaction with unbelievers each and every day. We thank You, Lord, for the ministry of Your Spirit as our teacher. In Jesus' name, amen.